Strategic Hot Box with Dr. Brandy Love Stankovic, discussing leadership, business, and how to take control of your life and achieve greatness. From the streets of Las Vegas, energized, informed, and never diluted, it's time to kick some ass.
Welcome to the Strategic Hot Box. It's your girl, Dr. Brandy Stankovic, and this has the makings of potentially being the best Strategic Hot Box episode ever. It is, the title first is Surviving Naked. Secondly, I am here with my good friend, Stacy, and she is going to tell us all about what it means to survive naked, and she happens to be in small pieces of leather. And I am going to keep my eyes locked in her eyes the entire episode, and she's going to make me blush at least 10 times, and I'm probably going to stumble over words, but it's going to be amazing. So if you are just listening to the podcast, this is going to be one that you want to pull up and check us out as well. So let's get started. So surviving naked, why would we even have the conversation about surviving naked? And as you know, we break the podcast into three chunks, and we'll do it so today with this one as well. And that's the learn, the love, and the kick ass. So in the learn section, we'll talk a little bit about what I mean in the metaphoric sense of surviving naked. In the love section, we'll get to know Stacy and her journey and what it, you know, what it, she felt to experience being in that situation. And then kick ass will give you some tools and things that you need to start implementing today to make some things happen in your life. So mental toughness, surviving naked, what does that mean? I was went to a hot cardio boxing class the other night, and it's my favorite class. It's like hot yoga, but you go and you do cardio kickboxing in this really, really hot room. And there's really no other kind of fitness class where I will push myself to absolute dizziness and exhaustion. And it still honestly doesn't prepare me sometimes for the mental toughness that is required in some other situations that I'm in. But literally, I love being pushed to that place of absolute exhaustion. And I do not feel that in very many scenarios. And how often can we get that chance as human beings to push ourselves to that place? We're so often mentally lazy, where we'll in cardio classes or maybe not go to the gym at all, or in situations be like, you know, I'm tired, I'm feeling weak or whatever, and just give up. And so we have to build up that mental toughness to push ourselves. And I know I've shared in previous episodes, but when I did the triathlon with Jimmy a couple years ago in swimming, in the swimming portion of it, swimming is probably the only competitive sport that I found that you can't just stop swimming. Right? When you're running and doing half marathons and things, you can just walk for a second and just kind of chill out and walk. Well, in swimming, if you stop swimming, you just can't stop swimming. Like, you just can't stop swimming, right? So the only way to finish in a swim portion is to keep swimming. And so it really did create this perseverance or drive or hunger in me to want to finish. And that kind of exhaustion is really powerful. And it also creates a bit of a context realignment when you get to a place of absolute exhaustion. When I was in Africa, now I was fully clothed and in, you know, driving vehicles and things. I was there in vehicles that weren't like the ones that we have, and it's a different place, and people are experiencing different things. And I know I've shared some of this in previous podcasts, but I know that I got back to the United States after being with these kids that were impacted and all with HIV and AIDS and all of this stuff that I just experienced. I came back and I was sitting in traffic in a well air conditioned vehicle and eating some snacks and thinking to myself, this isn't stress. And so often people will think, oh, being in traffic is so stressful. Really? Clearly you need, you know, a context realignment. You need to be chased by some tigers or, you know, something to really know what stress is and to chill out and appreciate how amazing life is and how amazing that you have it and know that there are so many people out there that are less fortunate. And what does it mean to really survive and how can we, you know, be more authentic to ourselves? So that's where it kind of being naked rolls into it. And there's an awareness of being naked. And I was thinking about this the other day when I was walking around my house naked, but I was just being me and just walking around my house naked. And then somebody came to like work on the pool or something in the backyard. And then I was like, oh, ah, you know, and like realized that I was naked. And I thought to myself, there's something to that, right? And I know that obviously there's a story from Genesis in the Bible, and you know, regardless of whether you're religious, that you can recognize it as a piece of literature, that eating of the tree is when Adam and Eve realized that they were naked. And there is a difference between being naked and realizing that you're naked. And if we think about that from a physical sense as well as a mental sense, right? So there's the idea of being naked physically and the idea of being recognizing that we're naked. So we're around people that were comfortable being naked, and then we're around people that were insecure, we're thinking about being naked. The same is true in a mental sense. How can we be mentally naked or emotionally naked, spiritually naked? And how can we really strip ourselves from all of the boundaries and barriers and things that we set up, and we really cloud ourselves with the noise and mental things that we put on ourselves, the baggage we put on ourselves? And how can we pull that away and live in a more centered and beautiful state of mind? Well, I think that one way to do that would be to survive in the desert naked for, you know, 41 days. Was it 41 days?
40 days on the
40
second.
Days and 21 days on the first, right?
Well, I only made it six. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was injured on day six, and I stayed a couple extra days, so they actually forced tap out on day eight.
Well, let me formally introduce you. This is Stacey Osorio. She was born and raised in Southern California. I've known you a number of years, very thankfully, and you've been a good influence. I'll say good influence on me forever. Maybe I was a bad influence. No. We're a good influence on each other forever. She moved to Idaho to be around more nature and better resources. You have two beautiful kids, Michael and Mallory, and you have your bachelor's in biological science, and you're pursuing a master's, and you became interested in survivalism in life really early on, but an earthy kind of outdoorsy person. You've studied ancient warfare, body conditioning, and you've always really been into natural resources. You've done some mixed martial arts. You also were a contestant on Naked and Afraid in Eastern Croatia, which is where the forests tap out, and also Naked and Afraid XL South African Badlands.
Yes.
Woo! Welcome. I'm so glad you're here. And thank you for wearing little leather.
Thanks.
So how did you make this little leather, first of all?
Well, I actually didn't get an outfit until probably day 30, and I wore... So this is actually a piece of paracord that's been fashioned around something that's been... It was used as a hanky by multiple... groups of us, and then my loincloth on the bottom. This was actually...
You just lifted your loincloth to show.
Sorry.
I saw under the loincloth. I don't know. I was trying to maintain eye contact, and she's making it really hard. Okay.
So yeah, this was actually another girl's outfit who actually didn't make it through the challenge.
But
so
she when left she
was,
her outfit.
Yeah,
okay.
When she was medevaced out, she actually stripped her clothes off, like what she had. Mm-hmm. And so what was left over, Alyssa and I, one of the girls I had finished with, that we made an extra outfit. For each
From
of
that.
Us, yeah.
Awesome. So I actually thought about, what does one wear when she's doing a podcast with her friend that's wearing small pieces of leather?
And that's perfect.
I decided on an Eddie Vedder shirt.
I love it. Yeah.
So that's...
I think
that's,
it's perfect.
So tell us a little bit about your journey in Croatia and South Africa and in surviving.
Well, this is basically to pay for school. I just really wanted to finish school. It was the only way that I could figure out how to do it. And I took this risky chance of flying to Eastern Croatia, and I survived with a guy named Lee, and it was going really, really well until about day six, when I was using the fire as my shelter, and the pot of boiling water spilled on me and burned close to 10% of my body, in which I was so devastated, I could not take the idea of going home, a tap out. So I insisted that I stay, and I even got the Croatian Mountain Rescue Team to, finagle their liability a little bit and treat me in the field. They're not allowed to do that. And they felt for me. They really wanted to see me go further in the challenge. And mm-hmm. So they allowed me to stay, and it really made an impression. So by the time I came home defeated, and I was just like horrendously upset about this whole thing, I didn't want to tell anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't tell anybody I was under contract. They didn't even know where I went. So they called me and they were like, Stacey, do you want to do the All-Star 40-Day Challenge? And they didn't give me a location at this time. I didn't find it out until last minute that I was going to a South African game reserve in a region that was close to a 100-year drought, about 80 years worth of drought, and breeding season had been skipped once. So these animals are super agitated. And being a scientist... Well, yeah, well, not only horny, hungry, and they were competing for water. So they threw us into a really volatile situation. So this second deal where I was dropped in with all these all-stars, with people that have already completed the challenge, and here I was, the only tap out from my first challenge.
Interesting, yeah.
So I was the only one that had not finished. So it was like going to summer camp.
But yeah, you were pretty
hell.
Much the badass of the group, let's be honest.
They called me the burn victim before they knew who I was.
No,
yeah.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, it was shady.
Oh my gosh.
And then I find out they're like, oh yeah, we called you the burn girl, the burn victim. And I was like, oh man, that's messed up.
It's amazing how I sit on my couch like eating snacks going, oh, that chick's not going to make it.
Yeah.
And like, thinking to myself, like, who am I? Like sitting at home, like fully comfortable.
So many people feel that way.
Oh,
you know?
I'm sure.
So...
Wow. So what is it like to go and just be take all your clothes off and walk? I mean,
it's hard.
I'm sure
it's
it
really
is.
Hard. You are basically being kind of left for dead. You're dropped in the middle of nowhere. Everything's taken from you. You're given a knife, mm-hmm. you know, some sort of blade. And it's some kind of primitive rite of passage, you know, something mm-hmm. that we don't have established in our culture any longer. But it's something that I was given this chance. So, you know, I'm mm-hmm. so grateful that I was able to do this. But yeah, everything's stripped from you. You're completely at the mercy of the natural world around you. And you have to use everything that's in your mind. I mean, it's all knowledge and applied knowledge and wit and intuitive instinct.
Unfortunately, I don't think they spend enough time on that on the show.
No.
On how much you guys know. Because I know how much you know. And I don't think they spend enough time. They spend so much time on the drama sometimes
yes.
that they don't spend enough time on how what it takes to actually survive out there. And the, you guys building the little kind of... forts that you've built.
The bomas
and you building, you know, and finding the food and trapping and fishing and all you did all that on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And it I don't think that was highlighted.
They don't even show it.
They
show just a minuscule amount of what actually took place out there. And we were doing great. I mean, it was absolutely incredible. And we had forged this bond of something that had not been done on this show before, that we were actually doing this as a unit, because you couldn't separate in little clicky groups. And
right.
It was too dangerous. Not in this location in South Africa. It was just far too dangerous. So, yeah, that was... I have never in my life figured that I would be in this type of situation with these people. I'd never went to summer camp as a kid. So this was like the ultimate being around people that I had to adapt to and learn to be tolerant of and care about at the same time, you know, that mm-hmm. you cared about these people.
Right.
And it's actually something I think that most people need to experience, like your triathlon
right.
deal, that it's when you're able to push yourself through something, especially with other people, mm-hmm. it forges this bond that's unbreakable mm-hmm. and nobody else can understand.
Definitely. So what are top survival skills? If everybody could know something, what would that be?
Top survival skills... Well, being prepared,
mm-hmm.
mainly with knowledge
yeah.
and study, and pack a bug out bag. Keep things that you might need, you know, a couple extra lighters, fire starters. I keep an aquatic net. I keep, you know, plastic sheeting. I have this whole array of things. Knives, you mm-hmm. know, it's just good to have those things on you at all times, because you never know what's going to happen. You can always obtain resources. So people that bug out and freak about not having, you know, cases of water or a bunch of MREs and stuff mm-hmm. ready, that's not really necessary, because if you learn what's necessary to survive out there, you're not going to need to have all this material. You're going to be able to go out there and obtain those things.
I also loved your approach on the show and how you learned as you went too. You not only had some of the knowledge when you went, but you also learned, like, the idea, the berries towards the end of
yeah.
Naked Afraid XL. You literally were one of the only ones, or the only one, that didn't eat a ton of that fruit. And I thought to myself, like, here, you've already been through this. You're like, it has an odd, similar taste to that mm. fruit that I ate before. And I'm not going there, guys.
I knew it was from our organic chemistry class.
How funny.
It was this bitter compound that was in this fruit. And it didn't feel right. I just started. And you know what? Film production was like, oh, you should eat it. You have a long trek ahead of you. You need sugars.
They didn't. Like, no way.
Yeah. They all, and you know what? One dude was medevaced out not 12 hours before.
So the production company ate it too?
Some of those people did, but they had food in their stomachs. Our immune systems were completely compromised out
right.
there. These people don't know anything. And half,
right.
of the, half of the doctors in the medical industry don't know anything. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
When it comes down to things in the wild that can hurt us, as far as microbials and parasites
sure.
and the microbiology of this world, what we know is so small. And And so anyways, like they couldn't even pinpoint what it was. It was acute poisoning. And so they were having liver failure, actually kidney failure and liver failure. And my buddy Jake Nodar almost died. I mean, wow. They could have died. Hadn't had any issues, you know, afterwards. He had Bell's palsy. He lost, you know, his face had paralysis for a good 3 weeks. He couldn't wow. work. He's a horse trainer outside of Washington, D.C. He's got a really great business, and he was able to, well, you know, he wasn't able to go to work. So it really affected him. And
he pushed for it too. He was really trying to survive. That was amazing.
It was horrible. And out there, when you're out there, it's like somebody dies. It's, you know, sure. They're getting medical help, but they literally disappear.
So what is it that there's two kind of questions in this. When do you stop feeling naked physically? And then when do you stop feeling naked kind of spiritually, mentally?
I would say that you stop feeling naked physically right away. Probably within 15, 20 minutes or so, you get really used to it. But then when the weather changes or it rains,
you're reminded.
I mean, yeah, mm-hmm. I would like to challenge everybody to go out naked in the rain sometime, or just walk around for an hour barefoot.
Naked in the
outside.
Rain sounds kind of fun.
Well, yeah, it sounds sexy and everything right. until you have to sleep.
Do
there.
It. And like sit on the ground.
Yeah, you got your burlap sack on your head, and you're like, my Phaedra is like a little naked rotisserie chicken around the fire. She just like turned her little skinny ass around. It was adorable. But yeah, it's absolutely kind of horrendous. This is it's overstimulation. It's too much, and it will drive you mad. It's Chinese sure. water torture.
Right.
That's what it feels like. It's just every cold droplet that touches you, you can't sleep. You know, scorpions are coming out of your firewood. That's your source of heat and your shelter. And there are scorpions coming out, and they sting you, and you don't even care.
Right.
Because that's the least of your worries.
Right.
You're more concerned about keeping that fire going so the leopards don't come in and eat you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's insane. And all you can do is just love on the people next to you. And that is really what I learned there. It was how to really, truly love these people and how to be loved. And mm-hmm. these people, it's just absolutely something incredible, for sure.
So when does that spiritual kind of strip happen?
Thanks for redirecting me. I get lost. Okay, so I would say your spiritual nudity, it's... You know what? I would say that the more stripped you get... spiritually, the more change is induced.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, the more discomfort you allow yourself to sit in, the more you somewhat like spiritually evolve. So I think it's individual. You know, some people never get it.
I was just going to ask that. Yeah.
Some people are like, this is still a prima donna opportunity. I'm a survivalist. Meh. You know, whatever.
Right.
That's, we're human beings, and everybody has the capacity to learn.
Right.
Everybody has the capacity to learn new things and to apply those things in those kind of situations. And I don't think anybody should be putting anybody else down out there or saying that their skill set's not efficient enough or not up to par in comparison to somebody else, you know? So there's quite some drama in the survivalism
sure.
arena, you know?
And I think that when people's backs are against the wall, so to speak, in these places of desperation, you really do see the true side of them, whether they like it or not.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of crying, and mm-hmm. then people lose their shit and mm-hmm. freak out and have little come aparts.
Mm-hmm.
And I had multiple ones, mm-hmm. you know, I got really upset about the turtle stew, you know, I was like, these people can cook their own damn turtle if they don't like how I'm cooking it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would get loud and obnoxious about it, but it's like you become a family, mm-hmm. you know, and you have to express those emotions or they're going to stay buried. And I figured that the more you would express it, just as long as I love people better than I found them initially, that I could pretty much express anything that I wanted mm-hmm. as long as I wasn't harming people around me. And
sure.
people were so responsive. I mean, the people out there were pretty incredible. So
that's amazing.
We were all on the same page. And so I was really lucky to be with the set of people I was with.
Was there an unexpected learning in the process?
Very much so. You know, I learned out there that I don't know where my place is in a tribe sometimes.
Hmm.
You know, who am I? You know, I'm a mom. You know, I'm an aspiring scientist. I want to be a professional woman, and I want to be, you know, I still kind of want to be that edgy punk rocker, you know, fun girl. But at the same time, you know, I'm really just trying to move to the next level. to ask me again because I kind of lost my train.
No,
of
I just mean like, so what was the learning? What was the growth? And what was the
unexpected. Pretty much like you said with your triathlon is and your experience in Africa, that everything is so much small in comparison to the big picture, mm-hmm. and that people need to take a step back and express more gratitude and mm-hmm. and stay in that mindset that this is a global humanity, mm-hmm. that we are all in the same boat on the same floating rock, and that we need to be concerned about each other, mm-hmm. and that we need to be grateful for what we have.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that this has allowed me to become more of a compassionate person, a better mm-hmm. friend, a better mother, better member of the community. I realized that my body is not just mine. My body belongs to my tribe as well, mm-hmm. just as it did out there. I had to keep myself in a good mindset, mm-hmm. and physically safe as well as healthy in order to take care of the people around me
to contribute.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 'Cause we are all, a cog in this huge, machine. So
I love that. Yeah. So it's not, your body is not just yours. It's your contribution.
It's your communities. It's your families that, wow. You got to preserve yourself so you could be of use to the people around you.
So any funny stories or mistakes, something you'd take back?
Oh, well, yeah, some funny stories. Okay, well, Jacob, mm-hmm. He'd always play good girl, bad girl. So he would like lay there, and he's just like a super sexy stud. And he'd lay there with his legs like this, and he'd be like, good girl, bad girl. Good girl, bad girl. And so he'd play that, and we'd
naked.
All laugh.
He was naked. Doing that,
oh,
naked,
yeah.
Yeah.
And then we would, we slept like dogs around the fire, mm-hmm. So, it's head to ass, all of us. It's like this really gross... dirty, skinny, naked human centipede.
Right.
And everybody got to know everybody's buttholes. We knew what everybody's buttholes looked like. We knew how to have hemorrhoid. We had, I had to have my friend Tawny pull a tick off my asshole because the ticks were so bad. They didn't even talk about that. We had tick bite fever. I mean, we were like down and out.
I feel like
out.
I saw that in like the outtakes at the end of the season or something, right?
Oh, it was horrendous. But anyways, yeah, if you couldn't find that tick on your butt, you had to have your friend.
That's like real friendship.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I'd do that for Jimmy, my husband. I'm really sure I'm not. I might not do that for pull a tick off his asshole. I don't know.
It depends, maybe.
I don't know.
I think you would.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe if we were in Africa after 30 days. I don't know.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's about, like I told Clarence, he's just, man up. And you take care of each other.
Yeah.
Phaedra.
No doubt.
Phaedra is like the, mama bear out there. And she was so sweet and so kind. And all exterior, she's very, I wish I had an image of her, but all exterior, she's just very kind of cold looking and very glamorous and very so beautiful that she just probably seems like a huge bitch. You get out there and she was just so sweet. If somebody was cold, she would hold them. If you had thorns in your feet, she would get them out for you. So she was like our nurse. And it was like, we had this like little lion pride for a while, it was really nice when it was just Jake and the four girls. We had this really, really epic time. And then when the others started moving in, the dynamics changed. So it's very interesting. I think that, somebody who's studying for maybe a sociology thesis, mm-hmm. that might want to study this, because all the aspects that go into the dynamics and how we operate together put in this situation is extremely interesting. And it was a huge social experiment. And I don't think Discovery knows what they had on their hands. It's something they really could have, exploited in such a better way instead of making it so dramatized and dun, 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 mm-hmm. It's just the way they did it. I would have done it different. I would have live streamed it or and made it much more raw.
Right.
And put it, allow people to see what production's doing. They just put this curtain there like they don't affect our hunt.
Right.
I mean, they're smelling it up with all their soaps and, when they're at base camp, they're not allowed to eat or drink in front of us or even wear perfumes because you could smell everything on them.
Mm-hmm.
But they would, the fact that they would come in, the animals smelt them,
mm-hmm.
and then they'd follow us around making all kinds of noise with all this film equipment.
Mm-hmm.
How many times did they blow our hunt?
Right.
And then we look like idiots.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So they made it really difficult, and then they don't even acknowledge their presence there. They just,
right.
So it'd be nice to see something different. you know, in the form of, you know, survivalism TV.
Sure. And this, and the, not only that, and the skills that you guys all came to the table with.
Yeah.
And it almost seems as if there's people just hanging out and just trying to make it and survive. But really there's so much that went into that.
Yes.
That
yes.
survival too.
There's so many of us that did wilderness therapy for, mm-hmm. You know, federally and state funded, you know, kids camps that for troubled kids, they would take kids out and show them how to obtain skill sets that would boost their confidence and give them a better start in life. There's some of us that were, you know, professional survivalists. Jake was a horse trainer. Darren just knows all this stuff because he lived on a reservation and he just mm-hmm. hung out and rock climbed and just did the thing. I came from the streets of Southern California, grew up in punk rock culture. Most of the stuff I learned was from being in an abusive relationship, you know, mm-hmm. in my past. You know, that stuff counts.
Sure.
And people shouldn't be so afraid to talk about those things either. Right. They should really just man up and say who they are and why they are so strong.
That's part of that nakedness, right?
Totally, totally. And then, you know, there was some of us like Phaedra. Phaedra, what an exception. You know, she came from really, really strange, almost gypsy culture that traveled all over the Southwest. And she has some skills like roadkill harvesting. Mm-hmm. You know, she makes things out of roadkill. She rescues cats. You know,
that's amazing.
Stuff like that. Just
so if you could leave us with one word or one action item, what would it be?
One word or one action item, it would be is to sit in your discomfort mm-hmm. and coddle your fears.
Sit in discomfort and coddle your fears. Thank you so much for being here. How can people get a hold of you?
You can reach me, well, of course, on all the social media sites, you know, Instagram, goldenvalkyrie.com. Check out All Star Bushmasters. You could find me there. As well as Inward Survival. It's a new little resilience training business I started.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Let's get out to the shout out.
I'm Afobo Prosper, the CEO of Abusman Butre Cooperative Credit Union in Ghana, West Africa. I'm listening to Brainy on Strategic Hotbox.
Thank you so much to Prosper from Ghana, and thank you to Stacey for being here. It's so exciting to talk about survival tips and being naked. So right now, let's talk about our top five kick-ass. Number one is just simply get naked. And I mean that both physically and metaphorically. Strip yourself of all the baloney that you carry around. Try to be more pure to who you are and recognize that there is more to this universe and life, and have a bit of a contextual alignment. If that means travel, travel, but get out there and experience it and love this world for what it is. Number two is broaden that comfort zone. And I loved that Stacey mentioned that within 15 or 20 minutes, they were used to the physical nakedness. Some people were never used to the mental or spiritual, emotional nakedness. But the more discomfort that they felt, the more ability they were able to change and things like that. And so more that we can broaden our comfort zone, the more that we can learn and grow. Number three is value relationships. You said it. It's the tribe. It's the people that are around you. Love one another. We have it in our podcast for a reason. Learn love and kick ass. It's all about the people that are around you. Number four is learn some real survival skills. Whatever that means for you, be ready to survive in your situation, whether it's in the street, in relationships that you're in, or abusive relationships, whether it's out in the bush or in the wild, whether it's at the office and just dealing with hard discussions or conversations, whatever it is that you need to know, learn to handle those situations and learn some real survival skills. And finally, toughen up. Toughen up, grit it up, get naked, make some of these things happen, and know that tomorrow will happen. That you can go out there and the world will be here tomorrow. Breathe and toughen up and, you know, rub some dirt on it. That's what I feel like, that's what we would say, right? Those are your top five kick ass. Mm-hmm. thank you again to Stacey Osorio for being here. Thank you so much for, I don't feel like I blushed too much in your presence.
Nah.
I think I think I did okay. If you have any thoughts or ideas for things for us to tackle on the Hot Box, if you want to get some more information on Stacey, head out to our website, thestrategichotbox.com, or hit us up at podcast@strategichotbox.com. As always, you can hit us up on Instagram, Twitter. You know, if you want to find us, come get us. But until next time, get out there and kick some ass.